I don't know about the adults, but the kids are having a great time this week. And somebody said about the tornado warnings last night. Some tornado clouds being able to be spotted from Rio. And I told somebody it was just the kids worshiping the Lord, you know, stirred things up. So it was kind of that way, I think. But I really appreciate you, you folks, helping get kids here and family and the such. And it's important. It's really important to kids. And some of you may remember when you were younger and went to Vacation Bible School. And we have camp coming up shortly, and that's so important. Get your kids in their respective camps. It's really, really important. And it's amazing how many young people have went to camp and God called them into ministries. And it's not necessarily pastors or the fivefold ministry, but puts them into ministry. And with a lot of them, even that were not called into ministry, camp has changed their lives and their families, you know, and just made them better people. And then they change the lives of the next generation. I know my grandson, Ben, up in Massachusetts, he's going to bring his kids down because he remembers how much camp meant to him and changed his life, and he wants his kids to taste what camp is like. It's important. So be praying for camp, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Jeff to come and give us opportunity to share a few testimonies if you'd like to. We've got a lot to be thankful for. So, Brother Jeff, if you would, please.
Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything they want to praise the Lord about?
I want to praise God because I had to take antibiotics for this infection that was on my allergy list. And I prayed over the medicine, and people had prayed for me about it. And I was able to take that medicine. I took the last pill the other night, and I believe I did have a reaction. But God made it possible I was able to take all that medicine to help this foot. I am having still some problems, feeling like I got a lump in my throat, but God's going to take care of that, and I know He will. And He knows the problem that's causing the infection. So in a few weeks, I'll probably have surgery on my toe again, be the fourth surgery on this poor toe. But God's got this, and
yes, He does.
He'll take care of it like He has before, and it won't slow me down. So. God is good all the time, and it's in His hands. And I just praise Him now before it ever happens.
Amen.
I want to praise the Lord that Danielle has got to be with me through this time and ask you to remember her in prayer as she flies out of here on Saturday about 12 o'clock to head back to Germany. So Mom will be alone for a while, but I got this sister of mine next door and a wonderful brother-in-law. So I just praise the Lord for those and my church family. But just remember Danielle.
Amen.
I want to praise God, first of all, for praising Him before the breakthrough happened. And the breakthrough I'm talking about is my nephew Caleb was with us in church Sunday morning. And the doctors have told us that, and told the family, that he is more able to control his behaviors in different places. And he was just as good of a kid as he ever was when he was with us this weekend. And he's really getting there. So I just praise God for the breakthrough and the family and the healing he's done on my nephew.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
just want to thank God for giving me the blessings that I have. And, you know, it's just unreal, you know. But I'm having some rough times, you know. I mean, I guess mentally, I guess. I don't know. But I know there's going to be better days ahead. And I just want to thank him for those and just love him, guide him, direct him. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings.
You know, I stand here today thinking that twice I almost lost my life. But God has let me live to be an old man. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I want to let everybody see Jesus in this old man.
Yeah. Amen. I like Brother Jesse. I thank him, God, for what he's going to do ahead of time. Thank him for what he's going to do in this church and this young person I've been praying for. From what they've said, they don't have a praying mom. It's made me thankful that I had a mom that raised me in church. It's just, you know, so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
I want to praise the Lord. I was in Owensboro today, and I was taking Mason to basketball camp. And, you know, I ran, and something I get on Bill about all the time, I just flat ran through a red light just as big as you please. And, I mean, I just grabbed my face as soon as I realized, oh, Lord, what have I done? And I looked back, though, and I looked left, and there was nobody around anywhere. And so I thank God for that because, I mean, I just did it big and bad. So I thank God.
There's ever anybody around when I run them.
Well, I'll start with, I'm going to say, Kenny, you're not that old. Because if you were that old, the rest of us would be that old. We're not that old yet. But we've spent a lot of years, and I'm just like Don was saying, Bill and Beth here, we were just sitting here reminiscing kind of the old times and the old ball games and so many things that we've done together and raising families together, and life is really short. You younger ones, just remember, we always heard it. Everybody's always heard it, but it really goes fast. I'm thanking the Lord for watching over us and the family and everybody else and friends.
On the job I got now, I can open the overhead door and do my work, and there's trees next to it. And I know I talked about this before, but whether it's raining, the sun's shining, it's cloudy, whatever, the birds are out there singing. They don't know where their next meal's coming from, but they're trusting the Lord, and they're praising the Lord all the time. And they can. I can too. So I'm just going to praise the Lord because he's worthy.
And we'll look at the Word here for a few minutes, the Lord willing, which is what we're going to talk about, is the Lord willing. Matthew chapter 5, a particular phrase I just want you to touch on. Matthew chapter 6, I'm sorry. And verse 9. And Jesus says, and this is the Sermon on the Mount, after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you know, we can read this, study it. If we're not careful, we'll take it just being something repetitious and not even think about the words. He said in verse 10, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, to what extent do you think his will is maybe being done in heaven? I mean, Jesus says we should pray that, God, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's pretty powerful. His will be done. Now, we know there was a time in heaven when his will wasn't done. And because there can be no sin in heaven, the fallen angels got thrown out. And we'll never be able to dwell there before, again. But I want us to think about his will being done. His will. He said, you pray that God's will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we can pray the Lord's Prayer repetitiously and not even think about what we're praying. But Jesus said to pray that God's will would be done. I mean, do you ever think about praying that prayer concerning your loved ones, concerning your children or grandchildren? Lord, let your will be done in my grandchild's life, just like it's done in heaven. Now, in heaven, that's quite a bit. His will is done. You know, God tell Gabriel, I want you to go down and talk to Mary, you know. Gabriel doesn't say, oh, do I have to? Can I wait until tomorrow? No, Gabriel, there is no tomorrow up here. Okay, so you got to go today. No, in heaven, God's will is done. That his will be done. His will be done. Wonder why we have such a problem doing his will. Not thinking about it, doing it. That his will would be done. Now, turn with me to John chapter 6. I'm sorry that we don't have the words up on the screen. I tell you, I appreciate all the work, John chapter 6, that people have done for Vacation Bible School. My. And a lot of the props and the such we've used in classrooms and all over, out in the foyer, much of that was donated to us. We just are so grateful for it. God makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. Okay, in chapter 6, in verse of John, and Jesus says in verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. We're talking about will. Now, will is what a person desires to be done. But it also has to do with us doing what he wants us to do. We have a will. If you have any 2-3-year-old children in your family, you know they've got a will. And their will is probably stronger than your will. Okay, and so God's will, he wants his will lined up with our will. Okay, that, you know, us, well, our lined up with his, but they'd be going the same direction. And so Jesus says, he says that he came from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. So, can we not assume? We can not only assume it, but we can know it for a fact that God wants us to do his will. Amen. Why? So we'll be miserable. No. He wants us to do his will because that's what's good for us. He loves us, excuse me, and he's preparing us for heaven, for forever. But not just for forever. He's trying to do a work in our lives now. Amen. And our will gets in the way of his will. It's it's a thing in the lives of our children that they do not want to do what you want them to do often. They have a will. And sometimes we have to break that will. Correct? Now, don't look at me that way, a couple of you know. It's okay to break the will of a child. That don't mean you have to beat it out of him. But a child has a will of their own. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. Have you ever been in a store and some child, maybe a year and a half old or something, and they're screaming, bloody murder, what they want? They want, you know what they want? They want that. They want that. And the that is in every aisle, on both sides, on both ends and in the middle. They want that. And they're going to get it because they are going to scream until they get it. Or we're going to embarrass you, Mom. Kid, you're already embarrassing me. And so, okay, now I'm talking about the children, okay? I'm not talking about the husbands in the hardware store. Okay, so there's a will there that has to be broken. In fact, Proverbs refers to it as spirit, breaking their spirit. Okay? Some of you have maybe broken horses to ride, and a horse can maybe be pretty contrary whenever they haven't been broken. And the older the horses get, before you start doing that, the harder it is to break them because they get set in their ways. And aren't you glad that when you get to be 13, you're no longer set in your ways? I guess that's the age of being not set in your ways anymore. But seriously, it's true with training animals. You have to break their spirit. Okay, you've got to let them know who's boss. It's like, ladies, after you get married, you got to let them know who's boss. And so you got to train them, right? Yeah. Okay, now everybody understands here. When I want you to say something, raise your hand, and if I want you to say it, I'll call on you. But seriously, the scripture says, the child to break their spirit. And so, is it not true that sometimes God has to do that to us? And we come up with, if God loved me, he wouldn't let me go through this. And we never think that what God's trying to do is to break our spirit, our will. We want our way. So Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. He said he came from heaven that he might do the will of him that sent me, he says. And he says, and this, in verse 39, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will, verse 40, of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so Jesus said, this is my Father's will. My Father's will is, and he talks about an end result. The end result is that God wants all men everywhere to be saved, Scripture says. He wants everyone to go to heaven. It's God's will that people go to heaven. He wants every being, every human being, to be in heaven with him. That's his will. He doesn't always get his will, of course, but that's his will. And so he came to make it possible that every human being could go to heaven. Old Testament, New Testament saints. The Old Testament saints couldn't go to heaven without Jesus. Okay. And so, he prepared the way for them. And the Old Testament saints helped pave the way for those you know, in their day in different dispensations. Okay, but here's the thing. He said his purpose of coming was to do the Father's will, which is to make it possible that every person had the opportunity to spend eternal life with him. This is why he's coming to get us, that where he is, there we may be also, John records. So, you know, and Jesus had to wrestle with this at Gethsemane as he, the man Jesus, did not want to become sin. He didn't want to experience sin. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. I tell you, I wish I could remember that a little more often. Not my will, Lord. Whatever it's in our lives. He wants us to yield to be more like him. And we're not just talking about, you know, three or four things in our life. We're talking about everything in our lives. We are believers. And as believers, one of the primary purposes of us becoming a Christian is so that people can believe on Jesus and spend eternity in heaven. It's not so we can gain anything for ourselves. It's not even about us. That's why I said we're bought with a price. We're not our own. If we're not our own, then we need to do someone else's will. Amen. You know, I think about the men and women, young people, that have gone to battle, gone to the wars, fought wars, died. Some of them going to battle, pretty sure they're not coming home. They went anyway. And, you know, we celebrated Normandy just a few days ago. And those men, they were pretty sure when they got off those boats, they were not coming back alive. Or maybe not at all. But when their commander said to head to the beach, they headed to the beach. They didn't want to go, but their will was not to be done. Their will was to do what they're told to do, even if they died. You know, it's so sad that people that live in this country look down on our military. You know, I wouldn't want to be in their place. I mean, it's not only sad, it's definitely ungodly. Okay. And yet, so their will did not change the picture. It's like Jesus. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so here we are in our day, folks. We need to find out what his will is. I mean, Jesus, pray like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, that's nitpicking. I mean, he's talking about everything in our lives. Now, consider this. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, I think. Oh, let me see here. Verse 7, when we had finished our course from Tyre and came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren, we abode with them one day. Talking about Paul and the company. He had quite an entourage with him, but Luke is writing this. And the next day we, talking about Luke said we, himself and Paul and the group. The next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven of the deacons, and abode with him. And the same man, where he was, had four daughters, virgins which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and he prophesied, saying, he said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, Luke says, both we and they of that place besought him, "Hey, don't go up to Jerusalem." Now, that makes sense. You know, because this prophet says, who owns this girdle, when they get to Jerusalem, they're going to be bound up and they're going to be turned over to the Gentiles. And the people said, "Oh, don't go, Paul. Don't go." Well, you know, I'm afraid that I might say, "Oh, okay. They talked me into it. I won't go." He says in verse 13, Paul answered, look at this, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart?" What are you getting at here? Why do you want to make me feel bad about this? It's kind of like you break my heart because I know you don't want me to go. And it breaks my heart that I have to make you sad. Okay, because he is determined that he's going to go to Jerusalem. And so what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? He says, "For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." The will of the Lord. The people willed that Paul would not go to Jerusalem because they knew it wasn't going to be pretty. And Paul said, "You're breaking my heart." You know, what he wanted for them to send him with their blessings and to be praying for him. They wanted, Paul wanted his will to be done, and for what God wanted, he wanted them to want it also. And so he says, "You're breaking my heart. I'm ready to go to Jerusalem. If I get bound, I get bound. If I die, I die. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be bound, or I'm ready to die." And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased and just said, "The will of the Lord be done." Isn't that great? And so they left. Or Paul left and went to Jerusalem. And sure enough, what Agabus had said came to pass. Look in the book of James. This is something we need to write this on our hearts. In James chapter 4. James says in chapter 4, "Go to ye that say today or tomorrow, we're going to go in such a city, and we're going to continue there for a year and buy and sell." I mean, tell you what, they're serious about doing business, aren't they? "And we're going to buy and sell, and we're going to get gain. We're going to make a profit." Okay, nothing wrong with that. James says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow." You don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Isn't it amazing how we plan so many things in our lives? And we're like the man that says, "Hey, I've got so many crops, I might have to tear down my barn and build bigger ones." And the Lord said, you know, the man was a fool because he didn't know his soul was going to be required of him that night. And we don't know. We don't know that any one of us will be alive tomorrow morning in our body. I mean, if we die, we're still going to be alive. But for any one of us in here, we have no guarantee of a tomorrow. We have no guarantee of being alive at the end of this day. midnight. James says, you know, man doesn't know. Jesus said, the man's a fool. He's making all these plans, and he not even will be around tomorrow. So, do we not all too often live our ways, our lives that way? You know, that we don't have this concept, you know, that, well, I'm going to plan on doing this. But I also need to keep in mind, I may not be around. And it doesn't matter whether you're 15 or 51. It doesn't matter what your age is. There's no guarantee, is there? We need to be mindful of doing the will of God. We need to be mindful of asking God, what's your will? I was talking to a young person not too long ago and trying to persuade them to read the Bible. You know, read the Bible. They said, I read the Bible, I can't understand it. And so I just get frustrated, and so I'll forget it. I thought, I've got something that I want you to do. And I wrote a little note out on a piece of post-it note, and it said something like this. I want you to understand the, and I just put some letters out the end. And this young person looked at that. He said, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? I said, why are you asking me? He looks at it again, you know, and looks, he says, I don't have any clue what that means. Then looked at me and he said, what does that mean? I said, why are you asking me what it means? He said, because I don't know what it means. And you wrote it. I said, oh. So you think maybe to go to the author of it would be a good way to find out what it means. So if you're reading the Bible and you can't understand what it means, talk to the author. You know, ask him to help you. Ask him. Pray and say, Lord, I don't understand what this has to do with me. Would you show me? And we need to be that way in our prayer lives, folks. We need to realize that it is God's will to show us his will. He wants to reveal himself to us. And he wants us. Yeah, he wants us to ask. And he will give, he will show us. Hello, you believe that? Well, let's do it. Let's do it. And even, you know, even if you're reading the word and you do understand it, I want you to know something. You don't understand it. It's too deep a book. You may understand what the surface meaning is, but there may be things there he wants to show you just for you. He wants to speak to your heart, your mind about it. Or he may want to show something to you and then remind you of something else in the Word. So never assume, oh yeah, I understand what that means. Say, Lord, what is it you want me to see in this? Because we want to do his will. So James says in verse 14, you know not what shall be on the morrow. Now, this is a statement. You don't know what's going to take place tomorrow. You don't know. Any one of us may be in the hospital by tomorrow. We may be in heaven by tomorrow. Amen. Or great things may happen by tomorrow. But here's one thing is for sure. Not one person in here knows what shall be on tomorrow. We don't know. We may have made plans and we may work them out. May work that way. But we don't know that today. Okay, so James admonishes us. He says, whereas. Sounds like legal terminology. The whereas is, okay, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Like Brother Tim was saying, you know, wow, time goes by that quickly. Here's what you ought to do. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So the Lord's will. We have our will, and we say, here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. And we make plans, and we make appointments. And, you know, a lot of people, when they die, they have appointments made that they were going to keep later that day or next week or whenever, you know. And they don't get to keep those appointments. Many of you remember Sister Becky Middleton. Right, remember Sister Becky Middleton, and she'd been in heaven for quite a while. And at her request, I took care of getting things closed for her and such, and taking care of. And I still get mail for her, and that's been several years ago. And I get mail about something that she was going to do, you know, and she didn't do it, you know, like going to reorder this magazine or going to do this or that, you know. And in fact, I'll never forget that a couple months after she passed away, that AT&T call, you know, about her phone bill, which had been paid, you know. But they wanted to talk about it. So I told them, you know, I could talk to them about it. No, we have to talk to her. I said, no, you can't talk to her. We've got to talk to her. I said, she is deceased. Doesn't matter. I've got to talk to her. I became convinced that person did not know what deceased meant. But they said, I have to talk to her. And I told him a second time, she is deceased. I can't talk to you. I've got to talk to her. I have power of attorney for her. No, I've got to talk to her. I said, when you talk to her, call me back. I want to know what she had to say. And so they said, okay, they would. They've never called back. It's been several years ago. And they never did call back, okay. But so James says, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or do that. And this needs to be our attitude. I mean, seriously, we need to have this mindset. Hey, I'm going to make plans, but I may be in heaven tomorrow. Might be in heaven tomorrow. And we need to make plans to be in heaven. Have you made plans to be in heaven? Let me ask you this. Have you made plans to not be on earth? I don't mean did you get your ticket punched to go to heaven. I don't mean are you saved. I mean, are you ready to leave earth? Now, don't raise your hands, okay? But, for instance, do you have a will made? Of which I don't need to make a will now because I'm going to, you're going to what? Well, I plan on, now wait a minute. You don't really mean what you're thinking, do you? I'm going to be around for quite a while yet. I don't plan on leaving. See, we get ourselves trapped in thinking that way. See, but have you made plans to leave the earth? Or are you going to say, you know, you really do need to consider making plans to leave earth. You need a will. Okay, we're talking about wills, okay? You need a will. You need it written out so that people will know what to do with you. Now, there's people been trying to figure for years what to do with you. They may not even be related to you, and they'd like to know what to do with you. Okay, but you see, seriously, you need to have those things spelled out. Now there's some of you here that, you know, you think, no, I don't want to get rid of everything in the house and all that stuff. I want them to have to do it. I want my kids to have to go through all this stuff. Okay. Don't raise your hand. Don't laugh now. Or people are going to think that I'm talking about you. Okay. So, we think about a will. And, you know, you think, well, they know what I want. It doesn't matter whether they know what you want or not. If your will has to be probated, you really need it written out, folks. No, seriously. And you say, well, I don't have anything. Write it out. Write it out. Get it notarized. You bring it by the office, I'll notarize it for you. I'm a notary. Seriously, I'll notarize it for you. And but it's something you need to do so the people know what you want done. You know, and there may be something, you know, you've got that picture there that, you know, is the most grotesque you've ever seen. And it's their will that you keep it and hang it in a prominent place in the living room. And so you need to know that they that they want you to do that. You want to do their will, okay? So God wants us to follow His will. You know, these hearing aids that I have, it really helps to be able to hear. It helps also when I get a phone call, I can turn them off from my hearing aid. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Husbands, get with me later. I'll share this with you, okay? It really does work. I just had the phone ring and I hung up. Okay, yeah. So men, you may want some of this information. Okay. I had this go off in court one time. Boy, I tell you what, it was bad then. I mean, to tell you, the judge sat up there and looked like, and it's ringing real loud in my ear, see. But I just got these hearing aids, and I knew I could hear them in my ear, but nobody else could hear it. Now, most of you didn't hear that ring, did you? Okay. But it did. It rang, and I just pushed the button up here, and it turned them off. And the judge is looking at me, you know, and I'm looking, and the judge is not happy when a phone goes off. They've got things there. You know, well, I thought it was off. I had turned it off. But with these hearing aids, I was going to turn the volume up. And so with my cell phone, I can turn the volume up on my hearing aids. What I did not know was that when I tried to turn the volume up, it also turned the phone back on. And so I'm sitting there, and this thing is ringing. I turned it up loud. It was loud enough. I was like three or four seats back, and I could hear the prosecutor up there going through pages. I could hear the pages ruffle. That's how much I had it turned up. I didn't know it was on. Okay, and so the judge, he's looking at me, you know. But I knew he couldn't hear. But he did. Now, on the other side of the room is an attorney friend of mine. That he got up and he walked over to me. Make a long story short, he handed me a quarter. That was for my bail. I was going to need this for my bail. Then I realized, the people could hear my phone ringing. Okay? So, you need to have your will taken care of so that you don't have to put yourself in a position in court to where you're going to be like me and make a fool out of yourself. Go ahead, fill out your will, and seriously, if you need it notarized, I'll notarize it for you. Okay, no charge. But you do. You need a will so that your family knows, what to do with you. What to do with the stuff. Now I tried this, and I told Evan there up at the funeral home this. Not too long ago, I asked him if his help had asked him. I went in there one day to see him. And a young man there, I don't know who he was. He wasn't very old, but he walked out and asked if he could help me. And I asked him if Mr. Thayer was there. And I believe we need to, as much as possible, make things arranged, make it easy for people. And the young man said, no, he's not there. He said, can I help you? I said, well, I was wondering if... you know, if you folks have any funerals coming up in the next few days. Why? And I said, well, I thought if not, well, I might go ahead and make some arrangements. I said, um, I, I don't feel it's fair to Mr. Thayer to make arrangements for a funeral when you're already so busy. And he looked at me and he said, I don't understand. And I said, I was wanting to talk to him about setting up my funeral at a time that would be convenient. He said, I think you need to talk to him about that. And he said, I will mention to him. And I asked Mr. Thayer the other day, was coming back from funeral, and I asked him if this young man mentioned that to him. He said, no, he never did say anything about it. He said, I'm sure that he didn't have a clue what you were talking about. Well, see, I believe in making arrangements, okay? Obviously, you know. But the young man didn't know whether they had any funerals lined up or what, and I didn't want to plan mine, you know, and it'd be a bad time for Mr. Thayer. Well, hallelujah. You know, as we think about, seriously, folks, we think about, you know, we often talk about this in Ephesians, you know, that in, or I'm sorry, in Philippians, about Paul saying that that it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's wanting to work his will out in our lives. And we need to seek him about it. You know, sometimes we so assume things. I'll never forget one time, years and years back, there was this fellow, and maybe I've shared it before, you know, it's been long enough back that I don't remember whether I forgot or not. But anyhow, there was this evangelist that had contacted me and asked if he'd come here for church, you know, to have some services. And this is a very, very, very credible evangelist, you know. And so, yeah, okay, you know, that'd be great. And it was a couple of days after that I was praying about the service, you know. And the Lord said, you didn't ask me about that, did you? I said, oh, well, yeah. You're right, God, I didn't. I just assumed. Because this man came with great references, yeah. I just assumed. And often in our everyday life, we assume things. We just assume it. Because it worked the last time. You know, we do it this way. And it's, but sometimes God wants to do things differently. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, I'll call and cancel. He said, no, I don't want you to cancel. And I'll tell you what. The Lord educated me, you know, because I presumed that I knew when I should have been asking him, okay? And he educated me, all right, because the man made a mess out of things. I mean, he really did. Probably nobody knew about it, but I did. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes somebody in your family will say to you, I told you so. I told you so. You know, you don't have to do that, deity. Never mind. And you know, the Lord told me that. He said, I told you. You need to talk to me about things. Okay. We assume things, okay? And I remembered that lesson. Okay, there's been evangelists and such that's come through, you know, and done a great job. But this one I remember. You know, some of them, I can't remember, too much water ran under the bridge, you know. But we need to train ourselves, seriously, to ask him about the smallest things. What is your will, Lord? And not presume that we know, okay, because we may not know. When he does something today, he may not do it the same way tomorrow. So we need to talk to him. But anyone have something you'd like to add to this? Appreciate you being here. Appreciate your time. Hallelujah. Anyone have something you'd like to add or subtract? You can do that too. Okay. Stand together with me. We're going to dismiss in prayer. Kids will be up here in about It'll probably be 20 minutes before they get here. But let's pray, shall we? Lord, I thank you for every person, Lord, right here in this room tonight. Lord, it's so good just to look to your word, to have fellowship with one another, hear testimonies, Lord, and just see one another, Lord. It's so good just to see each other. And, Lord, to know that that each one has special needs, Lord. Maybe we don't even know what they are. And, Lord, Sister Cheryl Simon's in the hospital tonight with pneumonia down at Gateway, Lord, and we lift her up in Jesus' name. And, Lord, those that are not well in our assembly. But Lord, I just thank you for each one that's here. I thank you, Lord, for the many adults that are elsewhere in the church and the fellowship hall, Lord, and down in my neighbor's place teaching children, Lord, from the little ones to teenagers, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that there's so many adults just jumped in and helped out, Lord, and those that helped to decorate and plan, and Lord, we just praise you for it. What an awesome privilege, and bless these folks that are right here, Lord, and their families, and help us, Lord, to take to heart the truth, Lord, that we ought to have an attitude that if the Lord wills, and Lord, we want to know your will, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take some time, greet one another. If you need to go home, you can. If you have children here,